Hello and welcome back, everybody. Hi, Tane, how are you doing?
Hi, Nana, I'm good.
Yeah, so we're on season 3, episode 8, and this episode was called The Big Time. Actually, before we get into the episode, I'm so rude. How was your week? How's it been?
My week was good. I don't know what's happening. We had a sneak peek into spring, summer, but yes, all of a sudden it got like really cold again. Like cold, like you need a jacket, 50s. And I'm just like, what is happening?
Literally, as I sat down to record, the heavens opened. So it's raining like crazy outside. This is my, third year in Texas, and I have never seen this much rain. So yeah, I think everything's going a bit crazy everywhere.
Because we had rain too, and this is the weekend where all the pools open and all that, but you can't do anything because it's just been raining all weekend here too. So
I can't believe you guys are back in coats. My condolences. At least it's not cold. I give that just rain. I don't mind sudden rain. After dealing with English rain, where it's like wet air that gets underneath your collar, all of that, I don't mind this kind of rain. So, but yeah. So yes, as I said, this episode is called The Big Time. What did you think of this episode?
I like this episode. I like it was basically like an unraveling. An unraveling for everyone, but a beginning for Charlotte. So it's nice to see Charlotte actually have like a storyline that's not stupid. Mm-hmm. And I say the word stupid purposely. Like that's even the way I can describe her storyline. So it was just kind of good because it's like we're beyond the halfway mark of the season. So you can just start seeing the meat and the bones of the season and what's to come. It's like the soup is cooking. And
yes.
I'm enjoying the flavor, the aroma. So it was good. I liked it.
Okay, Miss Analogy, I see you. No, I love that. One thing, okay, let me give a brief recap for those of you who didn't get to watch it. So Carrie and Aiden are still going strong, but she runs into Big. Steve tells Miranda he wants a baby. Charlotte is head over heels in love with her new man, Trey. And Samantha fears that she's menopausal. So I will say, like in Charlotte's case, I actually really like seeing her happy this episode. And I don't know, I think rewatching this has really made me appreciate how good their acting is. Because Kristen Davis, I just feel like she made me see like how Charlotte can be likable, even though we always complain about her being irritating, because she is. Yeah. But you see glimpses of like, okay, I get why people would like want to be around her or like her. And I think she did that really well. I think it's kind of hard to do because she's still a bit dumb because it's Charlotte.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just feel like she came across as really likable this episode. Do you know what I mean?
I'm trying to think what made her likable.
I just like seeing her in love and not being annoying. I think that's what it is. She just seemed like she did that whole, oh, I just met somebody, I'm in love and I'm happy. She did it well in a non-irritating way, in my opinion, anyway.
Yeah, like, no, I agree with you on that. I mean, we've talked about it before. Like, they all did a fantastic job. Like, the characters are what are annoying, but we forget that they're real people who actually brought characters to life. So, yeah, that goes without question. But I was just thinking in general about Charlotte, if she was less annoying for me, because, yeah, she was happy and in love, but she was still, oh, my God, I'm in love, and he did this, and he did that. Like, okay, get out.
Because she was definitely less annoying for me.
It's a different approach because we know how it ended up.
Yes,
but honestly, it could just as well have been any of her numerous guys where it's fantastic in the first week. So,
that's true. And I will say, I know a few episodes ago, I was like, I don't understand why any of these women would be friends with Charlotte in real life. Like, she's in real life, I would not want to be friends with her. And I feel like ever since I've said that, she's shown me glimpses. Especially like how she was there for Carrie. She's shown herself as to be quite a good friend to Carrie. And like this episode, she didn't irritate me. So I feel like she heard me and she's trying to prove me wrong. But anyway, so we start the episode with a voiceover, of course, from Carrie, that Manhattan is the kind of place you can get anything at any time in the magical exceptional land of Manhattan, guys. We cut to a montage of the ladies getting various things in the middle of the night, a cab, Chinese food, etc. But then we see Carrie run into her dry cleaner, which is closed, and she's unable to get there on time. The theme of this whole episode is time and timing, guys, and the title is called The Big Time. Yeah. So
it was hilarious to me. Carrie's like, at this point, there wasn't even any daylight. How do you think you're gonna get your dry cleaning when there's no daylight? And it's like, they usually, girl.
Yes, and come on, get in a cab or Chinese food. Dry cleaners don't stay up all night. Come on,
crazy. For just for you and your little bubble.
Yes. So we see Charlotte making out with the aforementioned Trey, who we find out is a doctor with a lot of family money. I mean, could you have built a better man for Charlotte? And they're kissing and they're getting hot and heavy, but Charlotte refuses to go past first base with him. Typical. Carrie and Charlotte are at the nail salon, and Charlotte is going on and on and on about how amazing Trey is. She mentions that he even took her to get some soup when she wasn't feeling well, and she allowed him to go to second base. Carrie makes fun of her for being a child, as usual, and she says she wants to take it slow with him because she really thinks that he could be the one. Take a shot if you've heard this one before. And Carrie clearly feels about this statement the same way that we do, because she responds that she's only known him for 2 weeks. And in her words, you can know his email address, but you can't know he's the one. And I'm sorry, I want to call out Carrie's hypocrisy a bit here. Yep. Didn't we just find out she'd only been dating Aiden for a week and a half?
I thought about that, but I think the difference is she didn't think Aiden was the one.
Okay.
That's the
difference. I just thought she was being a bit judgy, considering.
She was just trying to get her rocks off. Charlotte is like planning a wedding.
Fair enough. So Charlotte insists that he is the one, and it's hard not to have sex with him because he's so sexy. I mean, hey, beauty's in the eye of the beholder, guys. Mm-hmm. However, she doesn't want to ruin things with him by having sex with him too early. Would it be Charlotte if we didn't have arbitrary rules, right, guys? So, Carrie declares Charlotte to be an everything but girl. And Charlotte says she'd rather think of it as kissing with extras. And then they talk about re-virginization if you don't have sex for a while, and they also talk about when they lost their virginities. So yeah.
I found it interesting, the everything but girl, because it took me back to my younger days when I was an everything but girl.
Yeah, I was literally just about to ask you if you knew an everything but girl. I think we've all either been one or known one.
I was a very everything but girl, which in hindsight, and I get people's thought processes, like, what's the point? If you're doing everything, you might as well. But I guess there's just something different about penetration. I don't know.
Yeah. And I also think there's an element of control to it as well, where it's like you're trying to control things in a way. But I guess it's our world, right? We've kind of been taught to see sex as transactional, even if we pretend it isn't. It's something women give, right, and men take.
But everything, when you think about it, different topic for another day, is transactional.
Yes, 100%. 100%. And
I was gonna say, I also thought it was interesting that they talked about the re-virginization, because I felt like it paired really well with last week's theme or question that was about, you know, being sluts, or, you know, whatchamacallit. So just being conscious.
Yes.
I guess.
Exactly. I was going to say, can't believe I'm going to say this, but kind of related to Charlotte, where she says she didn't want to ruin things, quote unquote, with him by having sex with him too early. There was definitely a time in my life I had that thinking, the more I like someone, sometimes it would be like the less I wanted to have sex with them. Not because, no, not I wanted to have sex with them. That's the wrong way to put it. I'm trying to think. Like, the less I thought I should have sex with them, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but also I think it was hand in hand with the world back then. I think now sex is so trivial and it's so everywhere. If you're not going to give it, I'll get it somewhere else. But it was something, and I'm not saying it's wrong or right. I'm just saying like what the world was back then. Yeah. Like even, let's go beyond even our times. Maybe like in the 50s and everything, where it was just expected that you waited till you were married. And then you had to... Yes, it was done under covers, but it wasn't as common as right now. Not everyone was open about, oh, I had sex and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So the thinking also with men was that if you had had sex before marriage, you were a loose girl and they weren't going to marry you. Yeah. So it came from something where you felt like, especially when you feel like it's something you give to your husband and you whatever. So it's someone that, you know, you love or you like, so you keep it and play hard to get or whatever. And you don't give it to. So I don't think it's, I think it was more, you shouldn't feel bad that you felt that way. I think there was a lot of people who thought that was what it was. But now we've gotten to the point where it's so common that it doesn't matter. Someone who's
I don't know if I necessarily agree that it doesn't matter. I feel like it depends on your circles and how you're raised up. True. Religion also plays a big part in it.
True.
So it depends on each individual as to the level of, it doesn't matter, you know?
That's true. But I think maybe, okay, maybe what I'm trying to say is, like, people are not going to be, like, as surprised. There was a time in my life where if someone told me, oh, they'd had sex or whatever, I'd be like, I mean, granted, 16 or something, and I'd be like, oh, my God, you just did what? And something like that. And then now, even if someone is opposed to that, I don't know that they'll be so surprised that, I think the expectation is that any couple is having sex before marriage versus back then where it was like, oh, are they waiting? Are they not? Now the baseline is that you're having sex. And then if you're not, that's actually the surprise.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, okay, that I 100% agree with. So, yeah, we then cut to Carrie and Aiden living the life of, like, the newly enamored. They're having sex, lots of Chinese food and watching TV as much as they can, and they clearly enjoy each other's company and they look happy together. And then we get to our girl Samantha. She runs into a creepy older man who introduces himself as Len Schneider. Guys, he's got like a ponytail. He's one of those old people who still think they're hippies. Hip, I don't know, he skeeved me out. But yeah, she runs into him as she's picking up her mail. This is in her new apartment, we're told, in the meatpacking district. And Len invites her to his place, but she declines.
He does.
Clearly, as in a way that is like, look at you or look at me. I don't think so. What were you saying? I'm sorry, Tay.
No, I said he did look creepy. Like, I just did. Something about him gave me the creeps.
Yes, 100%. But anyway, I thought she turned him down nicely. But as she's walking out, she notices a magazine for premenopausal women in her mail. And this sends her into a tizzy. So the ladies are all out together having drinks. When Samantha slams the magazine down on the table and they're all leafing through it and freaking themselves out, talking about menopause and stuff like that. And Samantha is just, she's not taking this well, but they don't think there's anything to worry about. Charlotte squeals at an ad for vagina waits, and Samantha quips that her vagina waits for no man. Oh, sorry, that line made me laugh. And then they talk about Kegels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
I started giggling when they started talking about that.
Me too!
It was just a reflex.
Me too. I was actually trying to remember. Do you remember when you became like aware of Kegels? I feel like there was a specific time in my youth where it was like everyone was talking about it.
Yeah.
Like, that's when we discovered them. And I'm trying to remember whether it was because of Sex and the City or not. And I can't remember.
I don't know if it was about Sex and the City, but yeah, I do know that there was a time, but I can't remember what the origin was.
Yeah, it probably was Sex and the City. Very influential at that time. So, yeah. So they also mentioned how all their periods have synced up and all happen to be on their period at the same time. Just an aside, that's a myth. And people still talk about it like it's a real thing, and it always irritates me.
Wait,
periods don't sync up. It doesn't
sync up. Yeah, it does.
No, it doesn't. Medically, there's no evidence to show that it syncs up. It's a myth. I swear down.
Okay.
For real.
Yeah.
That's what people say, but if you think about it, there's only 3 weeks, right? Where you could be, like, you think it was like you're in sync with someone. So even if you're like running a bit late or a bit early, you could easily trick yourself to think you're in sync with someone.
Hmm.
I swear, I'm even like typing it now. Do periods. Because I know I've looked this up before. And I found out it was not true. It is not. Aha. Yeah, they don't. It's not a thing, man.
Interesting. I just thought that they were screaming at the restroom. I don't know if the mics weren't working or something, but they were really loud.
Really? I didn't notice. I did not notice. Yeah, so, was I? Yeah, so, yeah, they're all talking about how they're on their periods at the same time, and Samantha looks shifty-eyed and says her should be coming any day now. And we cut to Carrie once again, missing the opening time for her dry cleaner. It's a running theme. So then she complains that she's going to have to find a different dress for this magazine launch party that she's going to, which is what she wanted her dress for. And then we go to Miranda and Steve, who are out to dinner, and there happen to be lots of screaming babies around, and Miranda is not impressed, and she bitches about how they're messing up her meal and how babies shouldn't be in restaurants. And of course, Steve just goes on and on and on and on about how cute babies are. Miranda's like, yeah, I like babies. I just don't think they should be in restaurants. And then, of course, he says he and Miranda should have a baby. Miranda rightly calls him crazy and reminds him that they've only been back together for 2 months and that she's on the verge of making partner at her firm. I have to say, I know we've talked about it before, about how the timing can be very confusing. With Sex and the City. I don't know why I thought her and Steve had been back together longer than 2 months. Did you or no?
Honestly, I've stopped keeping track of time. But I didn't think... Well, I did think it was longer.
Mm.
Yeah, I did think it was longer. But I don't know if even them are conscious of the time. So, yeah. Honestly.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It just made me a bit like, okay. So Steve insists that it would be fun. Guys, he says it would be fun to have a baby and that he could hang out with the baby during the day, and then when Miranda gets home from her long hours as a lawyer, he'd go work in the bar and then Miranda could look after the baby. Miranda's like, so I'd be up all night by myself looking after the baby while you are at work at the bar. And she reiterates again that this is a very bad idea, and they agree to drop it because the conversation is clearly getting tense.
Yeah.
But Steve looks pissed. See, I don't know. I'm trying with this, and maybe I'll change my mind. But in the rewatch, I feel like Steve has been annoying me a bit more. I'll be very honest with you, compared to when I was younger. What about you? What do you think?
No, he doesn't annoy me. I can see how he can be annoying, but the truth of the matter and the reality of it is that is the kind of person that you need. And I say this as someone who identifies with Miranda, and I sometimes describe myself as uptight and just very focused, because Steve is very playful, and I can definitely see how that's annoying, where you take everything so casually and everything's so go-lucky, but sometimes you kind of have to just be an adult. So the way he's talking about the child sounds like he's talking about picking up a toy from Toys R Us, yep. And then I'll play with it in the morning, you play with it at night, and all that kind of stuff. But I think part of what I'm learning, because, I mean, I have a partner that's not as intense as I am. It sounds like you're playing, but because it doesn't seem like he's not taking it seriously. But the thing about it is that there's a possibility that he will be a good dad and he will do what he needs to do. But mm-hmm. because that's not your line of thinking, you're thinking, what is this guy talking about? Because the truth of the matter is, there is no good time to have a child. Mm-hmm. There is no, like, if she planned on even being a mom or anything or whatever, what was going to be her plan? Is she going to give up, you know, her career? And I guess she didn't know if she wanted a kid or not or anything like that. They could come up with a solution, even if it was like to get a nanny, but he would be with it during the day or something. But I think because they're very two different people, mm-hmm. it just seemed like he wasn't taking it seriously. But if she really understood how Steve was, how I understand, like, how I see the character, mm-hmm. he is being serious. Because even when Steve is saying something serious, he sounds like he's joking.
I can see that, but I just feel like it just seems like he's plucking ideas out of the air. You've been back together with this woman for 2 months. Oh, let's have a baby. And the way he presents, I understand where you're coming from. Like, it's just different approaches. Yeah. But I still don't find it any less irritating.
Yeah. I find it irritating. I think he's a leap of faith guy. Because the theme that we've seen in a lot of episodes is he just feels Miranda is negative. And mm-hmm. he's just not a negative person. And he just refuses to be drawn into it. And I can totally see why she sees that as someone who lives in La La Land. He's yes. just really sure about how he feels about her. He knows he wants to have a child with her. And in his mind, he's like, what is the difference between 2 months and 12 months?
Sorry, continue.
No, that's it. And 2 months and 12 months. So he kind of leaps into things. And in this case, I think Miranda makes sense. But I also mm-hmm. understand, like, where he was coming from is just, like, it's a leap of faith and one that I'm willing to take with you.
Mm.
So.
I just saw it as, like, he saw a cute baby. Like, oh, we should have one. Like, a big kid. I would understand if I feel like there'd been some foundations laid for that. But it seemed to come out of nowhere for me. So it just irritated me. But I see your point of view. I think we have different thoughts about it, though.
I think the 2 months was, I think that is the wrong time, because now that I think about it, they moved in because of him, too. And I mm-hmm. don't think it was like a month ago or 2 months. I don't know. I think that 2 months was wrong. But yes, that's just me. I can't argue with the writers. But yeah, but to that point, it's also like, if Steve doesn't make that action, I don't know if their relationship will move forward. Everything about the relationship has been a leap of faith, I guess. And Steve has been the one maneuvering it. Even the breakup, the first breakup. He was the one that did that. You know, getting back together, he was the one that kind of pushed that. Living together, he was on that, because as much as she's comfortable in the relationship, Miranda is still not, she's still suspicious, because that's her nature.
And I don't blame her for being suspicious. Especially if they've only been back together 2 months. According to Sex and the City.
But I mean, in general, time-wise mm-hmm. or not or anything, she's just generally not trusting
uh-huh.
of it.
You know what? I will say this is an example of, I feel like, an inconsistent writing. Because we've mentioned it before. Miranda has said she wants to have kids. I don't know if you remember that episode where she thinks she may not be able to have kids. And she freaks out because she wants to start having kids.
No, and then she said she just wants the choice. She doesn't know if she wants it, but she wants to have the choice if she decides that she wants it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Because
there was also that episode with her friend who she thinks could be something, who ends up marrying that girl when he visits. Do you remember?
I remember that, but I don't remember anything about kids.
I just feel like it's a bit inconsistent with the way they're writing her sometimes.
Well, I mean, that's par for course for a lot of
So Carrie invites Aiden to go with her to the magazine launch party on a boat. We found out that it's going to happen on a boat, but he politely declines. And then we then cut to the boat party where Carrie is getting drinks for Charlotte and Trey. Trey's telling the story of how he and Charlotte met, and you could tell this is not the first time Carrie's heard this story, because she looks very uninterested. And she escapes to the buffet, where she bumps into Big. Duh, duh, duh. So yeah, Big is back, guys. Big says hi and says he thought Carrie would be there, which I thought was an interesting statement. And she asks where his wife is. Where's Natasha? And he says she missed the boat. I rolled my eyes. I'm sorry. I don't know about you.
That was a double entendre.
Yes, exactly. Carrie makes like small chit chat and then she excuses herself and wanders off to a different section of the boat. Charlotte comes bounding over to Carrie to show Carrie the Cartier watch that Trey has just given her. 2 weeks, guys, and she's getting a Cartier watch. And he's had it engraved as well. And she just looks so happy. And Carrie seems that she's happy. I don't know. Maybe I was reading too much into this. I was like, can you be happy for your friend? Be happier.
Well, I mean, it's in line. You said Charlotte is annoying, so...
Yeah, but that's our friend. Charlotte's not my friend. I just feel like if my friend is happy and excited, I want to share in their joy. Like, man, even if you're not feeling it, feel it for a bit. It's your friend. I don't know. She just seemed a bit like, blah about it.
I think the thought process was like, oh God, this is just one another Charlotte's man. He's going to be gone next week. So,
what's up? I know, but I just feel like if someone's your friend, you don't do that. But that's me. They could be different. Just be happy for your friend, Carrie. Sorry. They had to pull up with your shit back and forth.
Yeah.
But yeah, Charlotte, of course, says, I think this is it. And she runs back to her beloved Trey. So,
Is this the part where I wanted to say, like, to the point, in addition to that, to your point, Carrie is already selfish. I'm just finding that a lot of the times they're having the conversations, it's always about Carrie's man, Carrie's thing, yes, or whatever, or them listening. She's never really, but she revels in them, you know, being happy for her or being sad with her. But I also wanted to add that Charlotte did say before she went back, are you okay? Or something like that. Like, yes, she still checks up on her in spite of
everything. That's exactly my point.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, you can't fake it. I don't care if she's met 17 men in the past month. She's happy about this one right now.
Yeah.
Be happy for her.
Yeah. It just flashed in my head and I'm like, you're right. Yes. You're right.
But she is extremely selfish. Ever since you mentioned that, I guess I've been paying more attention. And yeah, she is. I think she's got friends who are very good to her, but it doesn't always work in the opposite direction.
Yeah,
Carrie definitely has main character syndrome.
Yeah.
What were you saying? I'm sorry.
She was borderline irritated. Like, it's one thing to be all, but she was like borderline, okay, we get it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it started from when Trey was telling the story again of how they met. I mean, just fake it. It's going to take, 3 minutes out of your time. Relax. Yeah. You guys on a boat. Nothing's happening. You ain't going anywhere. So, of course, Big reappears beside her and he's like, can't we have a conversation anymore? And in my head, I'm thinking, you guys just did have a conversation. She said, hi. I kept it pushing. So anyway, he asks her if she's seen anybody and she says yes. And she tells him like how great Aiden is, and Big clearly doesn't care. And just compliments on her on how amazing that dress is. And I have to say, for Carrie's standard, this was a very plain dress.
Yeah.
It was just a regular blue dress. There's nothing special about it whatsoever. It made me laugh because men will start complimenting the wildest things when they want you to engage with them and talk to them. It just made me laugh because I have definitely been there.
It's really so wild the way Big unravels Carrie.
Yes. I think it's true to life, though. When that person is your person, they can just, like, fuck up your day, man. So Carrie's, like, trying to be all, like, unbothered. And she says, good to see you. And she leaves him, like, there. So we then cut to the women again in another restaurant. They're in the bathroom. And they're being, I'm sure, what men think women are like when we're in the bathroom talking about periods and who's got a tampon, blah, 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 blah. And then Samantha, we find out that Samantha's period is now 5 days late and she's clearly like not dealing with it well, guys. And Charlotte, as usual, is just going on and on and on about how much she's in love with Trey and how it's fate that they met and put them at, that they were put together at the same time. And then Miranda, actually, no, Samantha makes a joke again, which I thought was funny, that Trey isn't in love. He's just in blue ball hell, which made me chuckle. But then Miranda says it's not fate. Trey's light just happened to be on. That when men decide to settle down, their light goes on. And the next woman they meet is the one that they settle down with. It's got nothing to do with fate. It's just luck. What did you think of this statement?
I've heard it so many times. I think I was just surprised that Americans share the same view, because I've heard it a lot, like, within the Nigerian culture.
Really?
And
I've only ever heard it from Americans.
Oh, I hear it a lot in Nigerian culture, but now that I think about it, when I was in grad school, there was a guy in my study group, and we were just studying, and he just recently got married. And then from nowhere, he was just like, damn, I shouldn't have gotten married. And everyone was like, what? He definitely dropped everything. You hear the story?
I'm sorry, I just like choked. Excuse me?
Yeah. And that was a romantic. Oh. I remember, I was about to say her name, but probably should keep that private. And she was all devastated because she just met someone and she's just like, oh my God, how long have you felt this way? Like, when did you start feeling this way? I'm happy to say that Dana ended up marrying the guy at the moment. They have kids now and they're happy.
Oh,
but I'm glad for her. But she was devastated. She was like, oh my God, I don't want to hear this. And he just made a comment where he would have relationships. And then when he got to the what are we, he was just like, eh, I'm not ready for it. And that was done. But he took a good look at himself when he did it with someone that was like his good friend. And then he met his now wife and he's just like, if I don't get married now, I'm never going to get married. I'm ready to settle down and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. She's all right. She's good. I might as well just do it. And then that was how they got married. And now he's just like, I shouldn't have got married.
No, I know a lot of people like that, like a lot. Who clearly, I don't know. I know a lot of people who got married, I feel, just to get married.
Yeah.
And they'll never say in those terms, but they're always hinting around it and how they're like, oh, take your time, enjoy. And I'm just like, fam, you people make marriage sound like bondage and prison sometimes. Not everybody, but the ones that do. I'm just like, was somebody holding a gun to your head? You decided you wanted to get married because it's what you should do, not because you wanted to, or you were actually, you met somebody that you just had to spend the rest of your life with. Like, can you be miserable by yourself and stop trying to poison the rest of us?
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely a thing, I think. And I do think it's, do you think it's more common with men or women? Because I feel like I've also met women like that who was like, okay, it's time to get married. Like Charlotte, I guess. Do you know what I mean?
Actually, that's true, but I think the theory is more assigned to men because they're the ones that ask.
Yes.
So it's more like, are you ready? And then the stereotype is like men are usually not ready to settle down, but women are. So I think, yeah.
But it's like what we've said before, right? Like when a man wants you, there will be no doubt. You won't second guess. Because when they're ready to marry, you will know.
Yeah. Because you meet those men, like, you feel like men don't like talk about commitment, but then you meet a man who's ready to marry, and then from the beginning, they might not even know shit about you, but all they're talking about is, I'm ready to get married, I'm ready to make you the mother of my children, I'm ready to be, and that's it. So the intentions are different, but for sure, when a man is ready to do whatever it is he wants to, he's clear about that. But now the intentions, we don't know.
Oh my gosh, you know what? I'm just thinking about some men I've dated when they are like, nothing creeps me out than a man who like, oh, I want you to have my children. I find that stuff so creepy. Like, oh, there's all of that. Because I'm just like, do you just see me as like a breeder? You know? I don't know. Yeah. I find it very creepy. And you're right. Whenever a man is ready to get married or have children, they can be very single-minded about it. And I don't know. I don't trust it because I just feel like you're looking for somebody to have your children. not because you actually want to be happy with them. Or generally happy. I'll take generally happy for the rest of your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Similar to the man who's like, oh, what do we got? She looked like she'll be a good mother.
Yes, exactly. Which, anyway, I just think is nonsense. Because you won't know who's... Everyone can be a good mother. And some people that you think may be motherly may be just not great to their children. I mean, it's not a perfect science, is it?
Yeah, but it's a rabbit hole, because then you think, oh, she looks like she'll be a good mother, and then maybe that's right. And there's some people who are just more inclined to mothering, and then they forget how to be a partner or a wife or a girlfriend. And then you start looking for, oh, but I want this, but now you're so into this. Well, that's what you wanted, right? You wanted someone that's going to be a good mother. Exactly. And you were so single-minded about that. Well, you got that. Don't now complain that they're not
paying attention to you.
Paying attention. Doing all the things that they wanted to do, because there are women like that who are just single-minded about being a mom, and that's it.
Yeah, life is not black and white. So, Samantha, again, is complaining about not having her period. And then Carrie's like, oh, you have lots of, like, years of cramps ahead of you. Samantha acts like she's got a big announcement to make. And she's like, I don't know if you're aware, but I'm a little older than you guys. I don't know why that made me laugh so much, but it did. Okay, I had a question for you. How old do you think Samantha is supposed to be? Because if she legitimately thinks that menopause is knocking on her door, that would make her, in my head, probably very close to 50, right?
Yeah.
But I remember her celebrating her 50th birthday in one of the movies, which is quite a long way away.
Yeah.
So how old is she supposed to be? I feel like sometimes, again, like we said with timing, the show is a bit all over the place for me.
Yeah, this was inconsistent writing, because the ladies are supposed to be what now? 34, 35?
Yes.
And she's just a few years older. So if nothing else, I don't even think she's supposed to be up to 40 based on the college episode. But they're trying to hint that she's like 42. So, inconsistent writing. There's no math we can do that adds up.
I do think Samantha's over 40, though. Yes. I was Googling earlier to try and find out how old Samantha was. Like, how much older, sorry, she was than the girls. And I think she's supposed to be 10 years older than them.
Okay, yes. Then, yes, that's correct. I thought it was just a few years older. But if she's 10 years... That doesn't make sense with the college episode.
Exactly, exactly.
So if it is, in fact, 10 years, then yes, it's about right. Because I'm thinking the way they're making it sound is like she's 45.
Yes.
So that's about right. But then, again, flashing back to the college episode where, you know, 10 years. Yes. That's
Inconsistent writing in Sex and the City. Who'd ever have thought? Shock, horror. So where are we? So, yes, we go to Carrie again and typing out her column. And, of course, she's wondering whether life is a series of random happenings. And if she wasn't 10 minutes late for everything all the time, would her life be totally different? Would she have ever met Big? Would she get her dry cleaning back? Blah, 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 blah. Sorry, this is all very pointless, guys. Just to drum in the fact that this episode is about time.
I forgot to say that Miranda looked very pretty in the bathroom to me.
She did. I actually thought she looked very good this episode, apart from the very first scene where she's hailing a cab where her hair is like 6 inches high. So I'm just like, oh, talk about bouffant. But yeah, she did look great. Sorry, continue.
I was going to say, like, I didn't know if she was pregnant in real life, because I just feel like she had like a glow about her.
Yeah.
And there was a scene where they showed her from the side and I'm like, did she have a big lunch, or did that look like later on when you talk about it? But I wasn't sure, and I can't remember. I do know she was pregnant at some point while the show was filming in real life, but I don't know if this was now or after. There was definitely a different glow about her, and she just looked very pretty.
Yes, she did. She looked fantastic. So speaking of Miranda, she's trying to get some work done in her apartment while Steve is loudly watching Scooby-Doo cartoons. In the living room and chilling, eating cereal. She asks him to turn the volume down, but he basically tells her that she's going to have to get used to a noisy house once they have a baby. Oh my gosh. So Steve was stressing me out this episode. He just was. So Miranda jumps out of her chair. It's like, look, we're not in a good place to even be thinking of having a baby. And while she's trying to have this conversation with him, he is still watching his cartoons, guys. And she's like, hey, can you pay attention to me so we can have this conversation? And he's like, oh, it's a really good episode. And she gets upset and she's like, oh, forget it. I think we should just shelve the baby thing for a while. And yeah, she picks up her stuff and storms out. And Steve just looks sad as he eats his cereal. I'm trying to be nice to Steve. I just feel like...
You don't have to be nice to him.
Go no, ahead. Do not. No, because I think he's a nice guy. But I, in my head, if I was in a relationship with him, I think he would drive me insane. So...
I mean, hey, this is my thing. I'm just like, I think he's a nice guy, but he will drive me insane because that is what men do. Yes. They drive you insane. These are the little weird things that they do that maybe that's why I'm just like, yeah, that's about, it's not okay, but that's about that whole men are from Mars, women are from Venus thing. The more I get older, the more I realize like it sounds very trite, but it's actually really true. Really so is. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of things. It's going to annoy you. So I'm just like, man.
He's a nice guy, but I just see him as a big baby, and I really hate babying men. But yeah.
Men are big.
Now, what do you say? I'm sorry.
No, I'm like, yeah, men are big babies. It yes, might not be really watching cartoon cereal, but it'll come out in another form. But
there
yeah.
really is. And we've got our own issues, too. That's me being fair. That's enough of that. So... Miranda and Carrie are walking down the street and Miranda's telling Carrie that things just aren't going well with Steve, and she feels that he's using the idea of a baby as like a fix for everything that's wrong in their relationship. And like I just said, she complains that he acts like a big kid and she's become a nag at him like a mean mommy. And I don't know. I just hate feeling like a nag in a relationship. And I know it happens, but I don't know. I just really, really, really hate feeling like somebody's mother or their big sister or whatever. And it happens, but it just makes me feel terrible about myself. So I feel like I could really put myself in her shoes right now. And she says, no one wants to fuck mean mommy. And then she says, they haven't had sex in over a week, guys. A whole week. An entire week, you know, the end is nigh. And she wonders if she's like sabotaging the relationship so they don't have to have a baby.
It's so funny because I stand by, I think Steve is what Miranda needed, because the easy comment would be, well, then why didn't she go for someone who is business, you know, on her same quote-unquote level and isn't, you know, an adult or a man, you know, exec and all that kind of stuff. But that would have been another issue also. She would have been like, you know, they're not warm, we don't have fun together, it just feels like I'm in a business meeting. Yes. I'm in a thing. And unfortunately, a part of why I also like this episode is like, it's just real life. Yeah. You're never gonna get a partner that is 100% everything that you're looking for. And, you know, she's looking at him like a big baby or whatever, but she forgets that he also, like, kind of understands because, you know, every now and then Steve mentions the things that he goes for her law things and understands it or whatever, but he can do that because he's not in that circle, not in that thing, and what she may call a baby might be what makes it easier or what sustains it, so it's tough.
And sometimes she's a complete bitch to Steve, for real, for real. And he's still... It makes me cringe. I'm just like, damn, girl. And he's still around. So,
yeah.
I mean, there are pros and cons, of course, but we're in Miranda's head, not his, you know?
Yeah. So it's tough. It's tough because, but like you said, nobody wants to be a mean mommy. But
yes. What irritates me, I feel maybe just in TV shows in general, that anytime people have like a small disagreement, it's like the end of the world.
Yeah.
In real life, you're going to disagree. It doesn't mean like, oh, things are terrible or we're going to break up. No, you're just fighting right now. It's not the end of the world. I feel like it's always 0 to 100. That's what I think is bothering me. But yeah. So we go back to Samantha, who has decided to go on a date with the creepy hippie guys, with Len, because she's so sad about her period still not showing up, and she genuinely thinks she's premenopausal. And she is just at dinner looking very miserable, getting drunker and drunker and drunker. And he's talking about his artificial hip. And afterwards, she's, of course, having sex with him. And she's lying there looking equally despondent and miserable as this man is thrusting away above her. And she's literally sighing, guys, as this man is having sex with her. And then he happens to look down under the sheets and goes, ooh, either you're a virgin or Flo just came to town. So Samantha all of a sudden looks like Christmas has come at once. She's like, oh my gosh, because her period has finally come. And she apologizes, fake apologizes for messing up his very expensive sheets, gets dressed and leaves the apartment, and she just looks super happy that she's still, you know, she's still got it. Menopause isn't coming just yet. And that basically wraps up Samantha's story.
So this thing bothered me a lot. Uh-huh. It's that trope or that thing, and I know it happens, but for me personally, that whole using a man to feel better thing, it doesn't sit well with me. Like, it's okay, nice. It happens, and I know people do it, fine, that's fine, but the fact that, how bad do you feel that you go to a guy who on a regular day creeps you out? I don't, you know, that's the part that bothers me.
And I have 100% used a man's attention to make me feel better about myself. It's gross. It is horrible. I don't think there's any two ways about it. You're 100% right.
Okay, I don't, yeah, well, I mean, I've never been in those shoes, so I don't know. So that's what I'm saying, like, I don't want to speak on it, that's fine. But for me, what made it worse is, this is someone 100% you didn't like. Like, it's one thing if maybe someone you had a history with or whatever. I will admit, I have an issue with, like, I feel like feeling better should not be depending on a man or a person or whatever. Everything should come from within, but we're human and things happen, so whatever. But to go to the dregs, not an ex or someone you said, but someone that you, Samantha doesn't say no to a lot of people, but you said no to this guy. Because
you said the dregs.
Yeah, and he's creepy and he's whatever. Like, what is he doing? Like, what is so bad that you feel you need to go through the, I don't know. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Because if you're going to make a bad bitch, don't, I don't like it.
I mean, she could be fucking someone else who was way better than this creepy hippie to make herself feel better about herself. No, I'm not even going to lie. Let me know front. I have used, like, attention. Sometimes when you just feel like shit, number one, it never lasts. It's temporary. You're still going to feel like shit. And it's just not nice because you're using people, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you. There's no excuse for it at all. So, Steve calls Miranda at work and asks her to meet him at a specific address. And he's like, I promise I will help. So she goes there and it's a pet store. Guys, Steve has decided they should adopt a puppy, a very cute dog, a little cute black and white dog. And this is clearly supposed to be like a test run to see if they can have a child together. And he promises to do most of the work and just begs Miranda to say yes. Miranda calls him insane, but she's like, yeah, okay, whatever. And they agree to get this dog, guys, because that's going to fix it. So Sala and Trey are once again making out in front of her apartment. She's refusing to let him come in because, guys, she's not going to have sex with him. He tries to come in and she tells him she has an early meeting and says goodnight and closes the door in his face. He knocks on the door and she's like, oh, you're very persistent. And then he tells her that he loves her. and all her Christmases have come at once, guys. She looks so happy. She says, you do, you know, all Charlotte wants to do is be loved, guys.
Yeah.
And then she tells him that she loves him too, and then she pulls him inside the apartment. Guys, they still don't have sex, but she thinks this now deserves a hand job. So she gives him a hand job. Okay, I have a question for you. Sorry. I feel like I may have asked you before. Maybe because I didn't grow up here, I've always struggled with this whole bases thing. Because I feel like people have different answers. So she says she let him get to second base earlier with Carrie.
Yeah.
But now it says she lets him come in. She gives him a hand job. So what is first, second, third, and fourth in your opinion?
First is kissing.
Uh-huh.
First is kissing. Second is boobs. And then third is like groping. And I think fourth is sex.
So this would be third base, a hand job?
I don't even think a hand job is part of the bases, but it would probably be like third base.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. So she let him go off her base. Okay, sticking to her everything but girl. Got it. Interested. So if any of you guys think is different, please let us know. This has just always really irritated me. This is what happens when you absorb American culture, because American culture is a hegemony all over the world. We watch your TV shows and then you're just like, but I don't really get it. So yeah, if there's anyone who's got a different view than Tane, please let me know. Of course, as you thought, the dog is making lots of noise in the middle of the night and it wakes Miranda up, and Steve is of course fast asleep sleeping through it all, and the dog is just crying. So she hits Steve awake and goes, are you happy? And she starts just getting everything out that she knew it would all be a big mistake, blah blah blah. And then Miranda just finally says she's sick of him being the kid in the relationship. Steve looks devastated and says, are you going to give up on us just like that? And clearly this has all been brewing up for a long time and everything comes out. And then she just looks at him and says, this isn't going to work, Steve. And then he says, there's good stuff here. I just thought that line was so well delivered. It made me kind of sad. And she says, it's just not enough. A baby would only be a quick fix, which is true. Because they clearly have other issues they need to work out.
Yeah.
And Steve says he doesn't want to fight with her anymore. And she says she really did try. She could have tried harder. And yeah, so they've broken up, guys. And the very next day, Miranda makes partner at her firm. Okay. This dichotomy is so 90s and 2000s to me. About, you know, is it your career or break up? You're not going to have a child, but look at you advancing in your career. And I'm glad that they don't do that as much anymore. Have you noticed? In TV?
Yeah.
Progress. Yeah. What did you think of that scene?
I don't understand it. We literally just watched an episode last week saying they're comfortable.
Yeah.
We do drawers. They understand each other. They go where? And then next episode, these problems sprung up from the sky. They could have at least built us into it or used a different episode, but don't use an episode of using them as the epitome of intimacy and being comfortable. Yeah. And then the next weekend you tell us that I'm the mother, you're the child, and we can't work. Like, it wasn't even like an argument. It was a breakup.
Yep.
Like, what are we doing here? So it was just so random. And I'm just like, is this the whole one foot in, one foot out thing Miranda's doing? It's kind of like, because that's what I mean by Miranda hasn't trusted this relationship from the beginning, but two episodes before, again, when they moved in, she was like, I really do love him, like I do, or whatever, but it didn't just seem that way this episode. She just seemed fed up with him, and I'm like, okay. So
I feel like if I was writing this, I would have shown that with them being very comfortable with each other, blah blah blah, not soon after they got back together. Yeah. And then I would have shown him wanting to move in, because again, he kind of pushed that. And then shown this would have made a bit more sense to me, that, oh, he's trying to rush Miranda quicker than she'd like.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like that would have been better writing, but you're very correct. Them showing them super happy together just a couple of episodes ago and then this. It was jarring.
They didn't build us into it. They just threw us into it and we're like, wait, what? They were just fucking on the dryer last week. Eating ice cream together. What the hell?
But yeah, they'll be back together soon. We all know this. But yes. So Carrie and Aiden, we go back to them. We haven't had much Aiden this episode, but yeah, they go back to her apartment for the night. And she asks him if he'd like to sleep over, and he's like, sure. And as he's in her kitchen, Carrie presses play on her answering machine. And we hear the voice of Big. And Carrie's so freaked out, she immediately shuts it off. It's so funny because when I heard his voice, I kind of jumped as well because I wasn't expected to hear his voice. So when she turned it off, I'm just like, ooh. Something I would do. So Aiden tells her that she's out of coffee filters. He's just going to run to the store to get some up. And as he's leaving, he's so sexy, John Corbett. He looks her in her eyes very, very dreamily and says, you make me really happy.
Yeah.
Poor guy. And literally as he leaves, right after he leaves, we get a knock on the door. And we're supposed to think it's Aiden, clearly, but Carrie opens the door and it's Big standing on her doorstep. And it's Big looking very big, like, you know, like, I'm such a tortured soul. I can't live without you. That look. He's got that look going on. He's just irritating me. But yeah, he's going on about how he doesn't know what he wants. And Carrie says, no, go home to your wife. And he says, I'm so fucked up. Yes, you are. Carrie closes the door on him and then plays the answering machine message, which says, I miss you. I can't stop fucking thinking about you. And we get Carrie staring out of the window and we get a voiceover that the voice message that Big left her basically came a year too late. And she says, 2 minutes later, Aiden still hadn't come back. Suddenly, my life was all about timing. All the right things said at all the wrong times. My past coming back way too fast and my future taking way too long to come home. I'm like, girl, he's at the store getting filters, like giving time. Yeah, that's how the episode ends. That is how the episode ends, guys. Big is here to fuck it up. And honestly, I find all of this very realistic, I have to say. Yeah. Men and their radar of when you're happy and trying to move on with your life, that's when they decide to come back and try to cause chaos. So what did you think of that scene?
One of the apt things that we have gotten in pop culture is women referring to their toxic exes as their bigs.
Yeah.
It's very, very apt because nothing...
Whoa, speak on it.
Big is a good guy. Like, you can literally smell the happiness on Carrie. This girl groveled, begged, and you just come back and just say, I miss you. Also, speaking of this timing thing, how long has he been married that he's already, like, itchy?
That's what they do, Tay. That's what they do. They go with the women that they think they should be with. Well... slyly trying to keep you, you know, on the back burner for when they're ready to pay attention to you to boost their egos. And this is exactly what he's doing, in my opinion.
That's crazy.
He married Natasha because she looked good next to him. She's young. Like, I'll never understand how he married this woman that quickly after Carrie. Even if their relationship was messed up, it made no sense to me, but that's men for you.
Yeah, it was just kind of crazy. I just thought it was disrespectful. Like, he never used to come to Carrie's apartment. All of a sudden, he climbed the stairs and came up and all that kind of stuff. Then, like, that's him referring to, like, Aiden and saying he missed his teacher. Like, what was his plan? What if Aiden was at her apartment? Like, how are you so... The audacity, though. You basically just...
You know what his plan was, Tane? He didn't care. Because he's 100% aware of the hold he has over Carrie. Yeah. 100%. They don't care. Literally and truly, they know, even if Aiden was there, he knows even if Carrie tells him to go away, he's planted that seed. He knows exactly what he's doing, in my opinion.
You could see it in her eyes. She was already like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God.
Mm-hmm. He knows exactly what he's doing. What an asshole. But yeah, it just really irritated me. Big is such an asshole. I'm sorry. But it's also very true to life because, oh boy, have I met some people like that. But you're so right about people referring to people as their bigs. God forbid, man. I'm glad we're like, we're like, no, toxicity is not cool. It's not trendy. It's not hip. Let's not do that.
But yeah, and the news broke this week that Chris Noth is going to be in the unnecessary revival of Sex and the City that is coming. We also have the casting of Sara Ramirez that's going to be, I don't know why the media is touting her as replacing Samantha. She's not. She's going to be a host of a podcast that Carrie goes to, whatever. But yeah. Darren Star famously said that he did not like how Sex and the City ended. So I don't know
if
he has a hand in how in this new revival and all that kind of stuff, because he's more like, oh, your soulmate is your friendship and all that kind of good stuff. So he wasn't really happy, like, you know, she still went back to Big. He almost felt like you needed a man at the end, which I'm surprised storylines that he wrote. But yeah, so I'm interested to see how that happened. I think I was almost fine with Big being dead. That was a rumor that floated.
Yeah, I remember. Because
till the day I die, I stand by the fact that Big was not the guy for Carrie. But honestly, I don't even know which guy is for Carrie because it just wasn't Aiden. Aiden was what she needed, but she didn't want him. And he just wasted on him, on her. Yeah. So Carrie and Big, I don't think she was ever herself.
Yeah.
She just put him on a pedestal and saw him as superior and she felt inferior around him. So I don't know. What are the guys? The Russian, don't even get me started. There was nothing between those two. I don't know how they were even in a relationship. They were like two ships passing by.
But I feel like Carrie's like that a lot with a lot of a relationship. You're like, how did we get here?
So, yeah.
But I agree with you. I also don't think Big should have been the man for Carrie, if I'm remembering correctly. I just feel like there were too many things that he did. Like, you don't go past that, do you know?
And he showed her too many times
that he did not rate her. That's what I'm saying. Oh. He showed her too many times that he just doesn't rate her at all. So, she should have moved on. Should have found someone else. But yeah, I'm trying to remember. I don't really remember the finale at all. But I don't remember being dissatisfied with it. So I'm kind of interested to see how I feel about it the second time. What about you? Did you like, don't tell me what happens. Oh. But were you happy with it? Or do you feel like Darren Star?
I clearly remember it, but I also clearly hate Big. So of course I was dissatisfied. But again,
in general.
But between the two options, I mean, I guess. So I don't know. It was a whole, I don't even know. I don't know.
Ring an endorsement from Tane.
But at the time I thought that something was wrong with me because everyone thought it was so romantic. And so I really dislike Big.
We all thought this shit was romantic when I was 17.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like,
romantic now.
But that's what I'm saying. Was like, I didn't, so I just figured something was wrong with me. Because I'm like, am I crazy? He's so mean to her. But everyone was like, no, he did this, he did that. So then when the finale happened, I'm like, really? Like, she couldn't just... Okay, I can't give it away, but I'm like...
Yeah.
Fly back home. Really? But okay. And I kept quiet because I just thought, you know, you don't want to be that person when they say, oh, you're Debbie Downer. You just want to be different. So I never said anything, but I.
Hey, your thoughts are your thoughts.
I didn't quite get it. But,
yeah. Interesting. Well, we are zooming through and hopefully we will be at the. Well, not hopefully, but I'm kind of interested to see where it goes. But we'll be there long before we know it.
Yeah, I'm just pleased that season 3 is turning around because it was a rough start.
It really, really was, guys. It was. Okay, so Tane, can you please tell the people where they can find us?
Yes, you can find us at the Rewatch Times 2, therewatchx2. That's our handle on Instagram, handle on Twitter, and you can send us an email at gmail.com.
And please don't forget to give us ratings wherever you listen to this. If you listen on Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating and really help us out. Thank you so much for listening, guys, and we'll see you again next time. Bye.
Bye.